This is not that. Michael Ovitz simply is not a corporate executive. Eisner also addressed the issue of succession should he be hit by that truck. If I had to pick a new president today, I might pick Bob Iger. He is certainly steadier than Michael Ovitz by a thousandfold. But then, he cataloged Iger's faults. He will not get the company into trouble. He is a corporate executive. He is not an enlightened or brilliantly creative man, but with a strong board, he absolutely could do the job. He will want to keep the board out of his way just as he tries and succeeds in keeping out Tom Murphy and Dan Burke. I have found that stupid and weak. They could be great help to him, but he resents them for some reason. Eisner then ticked off all the ways that the board would have to curb Iger's authority, including spending limits on movies and television shows and series. It was hardly a vote of confidence. My conclusion, it is looking bad for Ovitz to continue being president past February. And should I not be around to oversee the selection of a new president or CEO, the board would be wise in not naming him CEO or appointing a CEO that let Ovitz run the company. I think he would leave anyway and should. The results would be disastrous if he stayed. We should all discuss this soon. The letter itself wasn't dated, although Eisner appears to have put a copy with the handwritten date of October 1, 1996, in his Ovitz file. Although the letter anticipates keeping Ovitz until February of 1997, Eisner later testified that he told the board at its September meeting that Ovitz had to go. Obviously, Eisner wasn't going to inform the full board at its regular meeting, attended by Ovitz, so he pressed the point in various lunches and dinners with directors where Ovitz wasn't present, and testified that he brought it up in an executive session of the board, saying that, "You should know that I'm probably going to work from now on at getting rid of him rather than rehabilitate him." He maintained that, one way or another, he told all the directors about his decision on Ovitz. Eisner later qualified that recollection, testifying, "I just can't remember whether it was in an executive session or I just let each of the directors know, but I know it transpired." Other directors, including Gold and Roy, had no recollection of any discussion of Ovitz at an executive session. Ovitz knew nothing about these conversations, but he'd already experienced a disconcerting and awkward chill in his relationship with most of the directors. One day he'd walked into Eisner's office and overheard him telling Stanley Gold that he had problems with Ovitz. That's all Ovitz heard, but it was obvious that both Eisner and Gold were startled by his interruption. Afterward, Ovitz confronted Eisner. "If you have a problem, I'd rather you address it with me. And if you feel you have to talk to Stanley about it, then speak to both Stanley and me. I'd like to correct the issue or whatever it is you have a problem with." Then one day when Roy Disney was absent because he was sick, Ovitz called him to see how he was feeling, even though he knew it would really irritate Michael when I would call him. "I figured I was just being polite." Ovitz had made it a practice at CAA to make a personal call to any employee who was out sick, something he also encouraged at Disney. "They thought I had lost my mind," he said, but he persisted, and most people seemed to appreciate it. But when he reached Roy, with whom he'd always had a cordial relationship,